Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Umicore Update. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during that session, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Marc Grynberg. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Roberto. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's conference call, in which I will provide some additional color on the press release that we issued this morning. I will briefly comment on the main messages and then open the floor to your questions. The highlight of the release is obviously that we expect adjusted EBIT for the full year to approach 1 billion euro. This is well above the current market consensus, which is slightly below 700 million euro, and is close to twice the record level of 536 million euro achieved in 2020. You will recall that in early February, when we published our full year results for 2020, we already guided towards substantial earnings growth for the group in 2021. We also indicated that all business groups would contribute to the growth. This outlook was based on the assumption that the elevated precious metal prices observed back then would prevail throughout the year. Since then, metal prices have continued to surge. Rhodium, for instance, has increased by around 40% since we last spoke, and palladium by around 20%. Compared to last year, the surge in precious metal prices could give an exceptional boost to adjusted EBIT of roughly 250 million euro, if prices hold up, of course. And this is incorporated in our full year guidance. This calculation was made on a like-for-like basis in terms of volumes in order to single out the metal price effect. The positive impact of this price effect is mainly visible in recycling and, to a lesser extent, in catalysis. Cash flow-wise, this material growth factor will not fully translate into higher free cash flow generation, though, as working capital requirements, in particular in catalysis, are also increasing on the back of the higher metal prices. The directional guidance we gave at the beginning of February was also assuming that the COVID-19 pandemic would not result in additional material or protracted disruptions to the economy or Umicore's operation. While the pandemic is not yet under control, unfortunately, the economy has continued to recover, and we are clearly benefiting from the strong demand across businesses, and in particular from the automotive industry. The favorable market and demand trends observed towards the end of 2020 continue to gain pace in the first quarter of 2021 and are still supporting our business today. The high demand, combined with a robust operational performance in all activities and the positive effect of higher precious metal prices, mean that we are off to a very strong start this year. Taking into account seasonality effects in several businesses and the planned maintenance shutdown of the Hoboken recycling plant in the second half of the year, we expect adjusted EBIT to be higher in the first half than in the second half of the year. Obviously, visibility remains limited at this time of the year, particularly in today's context, and I would like to stress that our outlook assumes no degradation in global car demand nor in the overall macroeconomic environment in general. Let me now briefly comment on the individual business groups, starting with recycling. The positive metal price impact of 250 million euro compared to last year is expected to mainly benefit the recycling business group and lead to exceptional earnings for the full year 2021, very substantially above the 362 million euro adjusted EBIT of 2020. Alongside the boost from precious metal prices, we see strong activity levels and earnings growth across our recycling facilities in Belgium, Germany, Austria, Brazil, North America, and in Asia. Our growth in recycling is a combination of volume growth, an excellent supply mix, and favorable prices. Today, we are reaping the benefits of recent investments which enable us, in particular, to process much higher volumes of complex PGM-containing materials and take full advantage of the current market conditions. Moving to catalysis now, global car production was up by close to 15% in the first quarter of the year, further building on the recovery which started in the second quarter of 2020 in China, followed by a recovery in other regions after the summer of last year. Umicore continues to substantially outperform the car market, both in volumes and revenues, through share gains in the Chinese and European light-duty gasoline markets, combined with a favorable platform mix. Also, we benefit from the continued decline of diesel in the passenger car sales mix in Europe. Against this backdrop, we expect to more than double adjusted EBIT this year compared to the €154 million achieved in 2020. The business group is also benefiting from growing demand in precious metals chemistry and fuel cells and stationary catalysts, as well as high PGM prices. Finally, it is worthwhile repeating that adjusted EBIT in catalysis will also benefit from the footprint adjustments which we carried out in 2020. In energy and surface technologies, we currently expect full-year adjusted EBIT to be slightly better than the outlook provided in February. Back then, we mentioned that adjusted EBIT would grow meaningfully in 2021, compared to the €75 million achieved in 2020, and would be in line with the then prevailing market consensus of €115 million for 2021. Today, we expect to come out slightly above that figure for the full year. In rechargeable battery materials, volume growth is materializing as anticipated, and we see particularly strong traction in Europe, which, in light of the more challenging market conditions in China, results in a more favorable mix. In addition, demand in the other business units within the business group is also stronger than expected. Finally, we expect corporate costs to increase to approximately €70 million in 2021. As mentioned on previous occasions, this increase reflects a step-up of R&D efforts in line with our mid- and longer-term technology roadmap, as well as digitalization initiatives. As usual, we will provide you with a more elaborate business update at the end of this month on the day of the AGM. However, we felt it was necessary to already inform you of the positive developments leading to an EBIT guidance well above market consensus as soon as the impact of these developments could be quantified. Of course, at this early stage in the year, there are still many variables at play and high uncertainties which have to be kept in mind. And with this, I would like to open the floor to your questions, and I hand over the call to the operator, to Roberto, to open the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have our first question from the line of Shirley Webb from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, Mark. Thank you very much for the call and the opportunity to ask questions. Maybe first from me, obviously the metal price complex has improved sharply, as you note, and clearly very tight as we look into FY21. Can you remind us of your visibility in this business for this year? And also, I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts about how sustainable this current tightness we see across PGMs and precious metals is likely heading into 2022. That'd be the first question. Second question, just any sort of quick update on the battery materials business in terms of, I guess we were talking about the oversupply issues in Asia. Would you say that we've kind of worked through that now, and now there's a bit of inflation back in the system, demand is more apparent, specifically in China?
Good morning, Charlie. Difficult to predict where metal prices will be going, anyone else, we have to work with a set of assumptions. This being said, I continue to see actually strong fundamentals behind PGM demand because of tighter emission norms kicking in or having kicked in a number of regions. You had Europe a while ago with the Euro 6 D a little while ago. You have China moving full steam to China 6 in the course of this year, actually, with effect starting last year, which will require higher loadings of PGMs. And so you have a number of very supportive factors in terms of automotive demand driven by the tightening legislation, while supply continues to be somewhat constrained by some of the difficulties related to the fact that some of the best mining ore bodies have been depleted or are being depleted, and that mining companies have to move to a more complex and more costly operations in a way. So these fundamentals continue to be at play, and while it's difficult to say how long and how sustained the rally will be, I do not see I don't have today indications or clear signs that that the tension will be over very soon. So that's on the metal price question. Regarding batteries, no, unfortunately, the situation in China is not yet where we would like it to be. Demand has started to improve at the very end of last year, and the trend is better, or indeed this year. So the improved trend continues to play out this year. However, this is too early and insufficient to work through the excess capacity, which I believe I mentioned last year would be with us for another couple of years to the best of our estimates. And one of the aspects that I would like to point out is that some of the growth in EV build in China it goes hand in hand with very small batteries. So in gigawatt hours, the growth is not as spectacular as it would need to be in order to work through the excess capacity. Where we continue to see very good traction, and we benefit from that, as was explicitly mentioned in the press release this morning, is Europe, where you have a very, very favorable market environment, market context, which is driving strong growth in volumes for us.
That's very helpful. Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for your question. We have our next question from the line of Georgina Rimoto from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning, Mark. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I've got two on catalysis. I was wondering if there's anything that you can say to kind of help us out with how much of the metal price tailwind will be showing up in that division. Maybe if you could remind us mechanically how the segment is impacted by metal price fluctuations. And then also in catalysis, what can you say about the growth that you're seeing there? I mean, clearly there have been trends for you to be growing above auto production for some time, but it seems to have accelerated. Anything that you can share in terms of your market share gains and trends there would be helpful. Thanks very much.
Good morning, Georgina. We have some metal price, indeed, tailwind in catalysis as well. It's not to the same extent at all as in recycling, and it comes mainly through the precious metals chemistry unit, and which is selling PGM-based compounds to a number of industries. And there is some exposure to metal prices that is created along the value chain. And some of that business is also closed-loop business, so it involves actually some, I would say, recycling component or recovery components. And that today is indeed proving extremely helpful and supportive. So that's on the metal price side. Regarding the mix and the market share gains, the situation, the reality is that we continue to benefit quite substantially from the evolution of the sales mix in Europe, with the decline in diesel and gasoline engines gaining ground, and our very strong position in gasoline catalysts, including filters, makes us a clear winner in that space. So we have a very favorable mix effect from that continued trend. Also, clearly, we are extremely well positioned in China and in Europe, regardless of this mix effect, and have continued to gain share and to disproportionately benefit from the growth in the Chinese market and the recovery of production in Europe. The other point which is important is that in that respect, or the consequence of that, is that we've been operating at extremely high utilization rates in these regions, which creates, of course, a positive leverage effect. And you will recall that we had the opposite effect last year when we had to shut down plants for a number of weeks in the midst of the COVID pandemic and the related shutdown measures. But now we see the opposite. We have very high utilization rates, and so that helps achieving the best operating leverage. But yes, I mean, it's difficult to quantify the share gains. Suffice to say that we're happy to observe that we continue to be more successful or most successful in light-duty gasoline applications. And next to that, we also continue to make headways and continue to see a strong demand for our heavy-duty catalyst and this is valid in Europe and in China as well.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you for your question. We have another question from the line of Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, everyone. A few questions. The first one is on recycling. So the 250 million uplift in EBIT had the majority of that is coming from recycling. How is that divided over H1 and H2, Mark? Is that equally divided, i.e. 125 per period? That's the first question. The second question is on also on recycling. Can you tell us where the additional supply volumes are coming from that contain rhodium and palladium residues? And perhaps you could update us on the supply volume split today, i.e. what percentage of your volumes are coming from the metals and mining industry, spent AutoCAD, spent industrial CAD, and e-scrap. And then finally, if I may, on catalysis, does the guidance of higher earnings in H1 versus H2 also hold for this segment?
Good morning, Mutlu. I would say that yes, the 250 is equally divided, or to be seen as equally divided over the two semesters. It's an assumption that we're making on precious metal prices. So at this stage, I cannot guarantee that it will, that the positive impact will be equally split over the two halves. But that's based on the calculation assumption that we used. Yes, we have projected flat rates for the remainder of the year, so thereby leading to some sort of an equal split. Then on the supply mix, what we have seen over the past 2 or 3 years is a significant increase of the availability of complex PGM containing products to be recycled, and to a large extent spent automotive catalyst. And we have actually anticipated that trend of increased supply, because by definition when catalysts are fitted on a car, we know that the catalyst will be available for recycling some 12 to 15 years later. So knowing which catalyst and how many catalysts were fitted on cars 10 or 12 years ago or 15 years ago, we can project where the availability is going. So we anticipated both the increased availability and, to a large extent, we also anticipated the tightness on the PGM market. And I've been speaking of the strong fundamentals for at least 2 or 3 years now, if my recollection is correct. And we have prepared for that by increasing our capacity and capabilities to treat much higher volumes of these spent catalysts. And this is what is driving the profitable volume growth that we see today. I would like to park for a moment the question on the split of materials between byproducts and recycled and end-of-life products. We'll give you probably more color when we speak next time on the day of the AGM, at the time we provide a fuller business update. Then in catalysis, again, it's a matter of assumptions, and the assumption we are making today is that there would be no material degradation in the demand patterns from the automotive industry across the year. And if that is proving right over time, this would mean or could mean indeed an equal performance or approximately give or take a few millions, an equal performance or a performance of the same order in the two semesters. But again, it's a matter of assumptions, and this is probably the best I can say today.
Could I follow up with a question on the supply of PGM-containing products? Just wondering, given the fact that you're making such high returns today in this segment, are you seeing more competition for PGM-containing complex materials?
There continues to be a high competition, and we continue to be best in class in terms of yields and performance, which puts us in a very strong position to attract the best and the most complex supply sources. And we also have capabilities to treat some of the most complex of these end-of-life products, and which is strengthening our competitive position. But there is competition, no doubt about that, yeah.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. We have the next question from the line of Chetan Udeshi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Chetan here. Mark, can I check just technical question here? But no, and thanks for quantifying the impact from metal prices. So when you say a like-for-like impact of 250 million, my understanding is that's just reflecting the volumes as of last year. So assuming you guys are, you know, expecting higher volumes in both recycling and also the catalysis business, is it fair to say that the actual metal price impact on numbers this year will be actually higher than 250, given the additional volumes will probably come with some pricing benefit? That's the first question. The second question was, can you remind us of what are the CapEx and D&A assumptions you guys are having so far for 2021? Thank you.
Hi, Chetan. Good morning. Actually, the metal price impact is the metal price impact. The volume effect is a volume effect. So I cannot say that we have a price impact on new volumes compared to 2020 because these volumes didn't exist in 2020. So, but that the extra volumes are coming at a higher price is clearly so. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't call that a metal price impact. That's why we wanted to be clear and wanted to, and that's why we spelled out that we were we are calculating the impact at the 2020 volumes to be sure that we single out the metal price impact and the rest will be volume growth indeed at very high prices. Yeah. CapEx, the assumption today remains around 500 million euro for the full year, and on D&A, I recollect correctly what Philip said a while ago, should be around 270 million euro. So no change in assumption compared to our last communication on this subject. Again, give or take a few million. It's still early in the year, and so that's what I would say today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. The next question came from the line of Geoff Haire from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is...
Good morning. I've just got two questions. So historically, the catalysis business has generated an EBITDA of sort of around about 170 million, EBIT of around 170 million a year. You're guiding to above 310 for 2021. I'm assuming that is a combination of market share gains and volume leverage, which is very specific to 2021. Where do you see the sustainable level of EBITDA for catalysis beyond 2021, assuming no big changes in auto production demand? And the second question is, I just wondered if you could explain to us how cobalt pricing impacts the energy and surface technology division, thinking particularly of the upstream cobalt business you have with the new refinery in Finland, plus then obviously the needs that the cathode material business has as well. That would be helpful.
Good morning, Geoff, and let me first start with the catalysis. There is one factor that you have to bear in mind when comparing past EBITDA levels to what we're guiding to today, is that in the meantime we have carried out a certain number of footprint adjustments which are sustainably contributing to the higher EBITDA levels. Part of the equation is related, as I mentioned earlier when addressing the question of Georgina, is related to high metal prices and how sustained that is. You will have to make your own assumptions. But on the volume side and the market shares gains and the high utilization rates, I would say that we're in very good shape to sustain these levels of margins and profitability for a while. And indeed, then it will depend on what your projections are, your assumptions are for the car build rate with combustion engines in the longer run, but I would say that what we see today is a sustained higher level of profitability indeed in that business. Let me now move to the cobalt question, and I'm glad you raised it so we have a chance to clarify this effect, because we have not been very explicit in the press release. The cobalt dynamic today is a clear headwind for Umicore, unfortunately, and we could have mentioned that in the press release indeed. It's a headwind because on one side the prices, the metal prices are increasing, but in a way the metal price is less relevant to us than the payable on the raw materials, the payable content, because we don't buy a lot of metal, we buy a lot of raw materials, and the payables have shot up much more dramatically than the cobalt price, and so this is a strong negative for our upstream activities indeed, and for the business group overall. So this is one headwind more that we have to deal with, and it goes to show that despite this additional headwind, the volume growth is strong in the segment, and helps us to more compensate the various headwinds or additional costs that we see in the business, and to come up with a somewhat more positive guidance than a couple of months ago.
Okay. Could I just ask an additional question then? Can you quantify what the impact of metal prices is in the catalysis business? I mean, a rough number. You've given it obviously for the group at 250. What proportion of that is in catalysis?
No, we're not going to disclose the breakdown between recycling and catalysis. I can only say that the vast majority is in recycling, but we prefer for commercial reasons to not break it down in a more granular manner. Sorry about
that. Okay, that's okay.
Thank you for your question. We have the next question from the line of Ronald Orr from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. Mark, I was just wondering if you could please give us an update on the hedging in recycling and whether you've been able to extend your contract any further out than your last update. And then just as a second question, I didn't follow, sorry, all of your answer just now on the impact of the cobalt price in EST. So could you just clarify, you're saying that the higher cobalt price did not contribute any additional EBIT to the division in your new outlook? Thanks.
So, good morning, Ranulf. The hedge book is the same as when we spoke last time 2 months ago. So there has been no change in the meantime. Cobalt is overall a negative for us because we're more exposed to the payable content on raw materials than to the price of the metal itself. And it's a headwind for the business group.
Fine. Okay. Thank you.
Just to be maybe a little bit more explicit, we're not buying a lot of metal. We're buying raw materials that contain cobalt, and we have to refine them, and we're being paid for the refining job, but we're being paid much less than in the past, in a way, because the payable content of metal has increased, so we have to pay more for the raw materials.
Great, thanks.
Thank you for your question. We have the next question from the line of Alex Stewart. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, and congratulations on a very impressive statement today. Could you tell us whether the restocking of auto catalysts, which was helping your demand at the end of last year, do you think that has now stopped, or can you still see your car customers refilling their shelves with catalysts? And secondly, historically, big guidance upgrade announcements from Umicore have preceded capital increases related to new investments, new capacity build. That happened in 2018, happened in earlier last year. Could you tell us where we are in terms of needing to think about putting new capacity in the ground for RBM? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Good morning, Alex. It's interesting you made that correlation between announcements between various announcements. I hadn't thought about that. No, it's we don't have a capital an equity raise on the agenda. If I can clarify that in the first place. This being said, we have capacity coming on stream towards the end of this year. In Europe, as you know, and we are working on the following phase because, as I indicated on previous occasions, we are well positioned in Europe. We see strong traction in the EV market in Europe, and we know for a fact that the first phase of investment in Poland will not be sufficient to cater for the midterm demand. So we're working on that, and you should stay tuned, and you will hear more from us about the next steps. I'm sorry, I missed the first question was about.
The first question is much simpler. It's about restocking of catalysts. Yeah.
So there must have been some of that in the last quarter of 2020. It's difficult to make out because the statistics are not providing enough granularity. The statistics from the automotive industry to figure out whether there is restocking. If I look at inventory days in North America and in China, it looks like they are stable and there is no further restocking. The demand and production are pretty much in balance. And for Europe, it's difficult to make out because most cars are being produced on order rather than being purchased from inventories. So there it's difficult to make out, but I wouldn't see good reasons for car makers to build stocks ahead of the order book. So I don't think that's the case.
Sorry, Mark, if I could just clarify, I'm not talking about inventories of cars. I'm talking about the car companies and their inventories of catalysts.
That's never been the case.
There was no restocking last year.
Oh, no. Sorry, I misunderstood your question, Alex. No, there has never been restocking of catalysts. Catalysts are always delivered just in time. And because of the value in transit would be, or inventory would be much too high because of the value of the PGMs in the catalyst. So that's not a practice in the industry.
Especially as the
catalyst industry is located near the main automotive production center, so there is no issue around the risk of logistics bottlenecks or whatsoever.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. We have the next question from the line of Mushbahir Chaudhry from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my questions. Just the one, to be honest, on the working capital. You said that it will be quite a significant build. Should we think about the uplift in the guidance today as kind of mostly going towards the working capital build and therefore the impact on free cash flow is going to be very, very limited? Or should we expect a portion of that free cash flow going up from the uplift in PGM guidance that you provided today? Thank you.
Hi, Mubashar. I will hand over to Philip to address your question, if you don't mind.
Yes, good morning. I think what we're saying is that obviously, given the kind of metal prices you see today, that the impact on working capital, and we're really talking about catalysis, is expected to be quite substantial. It's a bit too early to quantify, but indeed, an important part of the earnings cash increase that we expect, that we guide to, will be going to working capital. A bit too early to really quantify it, but we expect it to be substantial given the prices and the kind of automatic effect that you have through inventories and net receivables. But we'll quantify that, obviously, for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. We have the next question from the line of Adam Collins from Liberum. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. A couple left, please, on recycling. So, Mark, in the prepared statement, you mentioned the capacity investments, which, if I'm not mistaken, were around sort of 2016, where processing capacity went up from about 350 kT to 500. Question is, how close to full capacity are you now, and to what extent has the opportunity to fill some of that volume in the last few quarters been a driver to your enhanced profits now? And then a question on PMM. To what extent has strong demand for investment products and the volatility of prices, which benefits metal broking, been a factor?
Good morning, Adam. I would say we are operating at full capacity, indeed. Now, the capacity figure has to be interpreted in function of the mix of materials. You may recall when we spoke back in 2015 or 16 about the 40% capacity increase, that the purpose at that time was to target mostly industrial byproducts to fill the additional capacity. In the meantime, as I mentioned in some of my previous remarks today, the mix has changed quite dramatically, with much more focus on PGM-containing end-of-life products. And we have adapted our capacities and capabilities to be able to treat more of those. Considering the current mix impact, yes, we are operating at full capacity, and the ramp to that full capacity utilization last year and this year are significant factors in the overall uplift in profitability. Indeed. Regarding precious metals management, again, we could have said something now that you raised the question. With hindsight, I realize we could or should have said something in the press release about this. Yes, we had last year a strong contribution from PMM, and yes, the contribution this year is very strong too. In the current context, we see continued very high demand for investment products. That's one aspect. And you know that when metal prices are high and volatility is high, this trading activity is generating outstanding profits and has a fairly, in relative terms, has a high contribution to the overall profit of the business group.
Okay, Mark, thank you. That's clear. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. We have the next question from the line of Sebastian Bray from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I just have one on the energy and surface tech segment. I'm wondering, can we disaggregate the drivers for the slight upgrade to EBIT guidance since the last update? Is there any metals price impact here, either positive or negative, from nickel or cobalt? And relative to the time Umicore last updated the market, have assumptions for prices or volumes changed for cathode material? Thank you.
Good morning, Sebastian. Let me outline the key drivers to the slight upgrade. One is the volumes. We have better volumes than expected in the non-battery units. So the other business units of the business group. We see there's stronger demand than we had anticipated when we spoke 2 months ago. You may recall that for battery materials, we said in February that volumes would grow materially, or I think we said very substantially, in 2021 from the levels of 2020, and that is confirmed today. We are growing extremely well in battery materials, but that is in line with what we saw back 2 months ago, and this is very much in line with how the market is growing at this stage. So this being said, we have somewhat more traction in Europe than in the overall mix, and this is a favorable factor compared to the assumptions we made 2 months ago. As I mentioned, the market conditions remain fairly depressed and challenging in China, so the fact the regional mix helps us to a certain extent, indeed, and somewhat more than we had anticipated when we spoke 2 months ago. So these are two positives, the very strong demand in the other business units other than battery materials, and the mix effect in battery materials, while the growth there is very strong. And there is one clear negative, that's the headwind I mentioned earlier in the call, of the cobalt dynamics.
Is there any impact from nickel?
It's not compared to when we spoke last time. It's really negligible.
That's helpful. Thank you for taking my questions, Mark.
Thank you for your question. And we will take the two last questions from Jean-Baptiste Roland from Bank of America.
Hi, Mark. Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I have only one. In relation to Catalysis, I think you're usually very cautious in terms of commenting on market shares on short-term trends. And I was curious to understand if you can share a little bit more in terms of who you're taking market share from in Asia. Would you say that this is mostly from local players or some of your international competitors? I just want to follow up on energy and surface technology. When you say better volumes in non-battery units, how is that different to the headwinds that you're signaling from cobalt? Is it just a matter of volumes versus pricing effect in the cobalt and specialty materials unit, or is it or does it work differently? Thank you if you can clarify. Thanks.
So let me start with the second question. So the negative of cobalt is upstream, and because of the refining conditions having deteriorated quite substantially compared to when we spoke last. The volume effect that I was referring to a minute ago is really in the downstream product businesses of CSM, MDS, etc. So these are the product. I was referring to the product demand. But still, I would like to put things in context. The strong growth, the strong volume growth is in battery materials. I just want to make sure that my comments are not misinterpreted. The strong volume growth, the strongest volume growth we have in the segment, which is driving the most of the earnings growth compared to 2020, is in battery materials, is in cathode materials. However, that volume growth is mostly in line with what I said back in February. So I just wanted to make sure that there was no misunderstanding and that I had not created more confusion than clarity with my comments earlier in the day. Regarding Catalysis, it is not always obvious to figure out who we're taking market share away from. In Europe, we know that we're benefiting from the decline of diesel against gasoline, and that helps our overall market share. Whether you call that the market share or a mix effect doesn't matter so much. The bottom line is good for us. In China, it's a matter of our customers being very successful in their own market. So our mix is indeed also favorable, and market share gains probably from a number of players. But at this stage, I would prefer not to go into, I would say, either quantification or speculation about who that is being taken away from.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. We will take now the last question from the line of Wim Hoste from KB Securities. Please go ahead.
Okay, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to ask my questions. I have two, please. First, to come back on the hedging in recycling, I'm a little bit surprised that you did not benefit from the very high metal price environments to take on additional hedges. So is there anything changing in terms of the strategy or approach towards hedging? That's the first question. And then a second one is a bit of a maintenance question on the shutdown that is planned in Hoboken in the second half of this year. Can you elaborate on what kind of duration you expect it to have? Is it kind of an ordinary shutdown, or will it require or come along with additional environmental investments or anything like that? Can you maybe elaborate on that as well? Thank you.
Good morning, Wim. I will hand over to Philip in a moment to talk about the hedges. Let me say in the meantime that the planned shutdown in Hoboken will be a regular maintenance shutdown, so typically duration of approximately 4 weeks. And that, yes, we will make use of these 4 weeks to carry out a number of environmental investments or a commitment to make significant environmental investments and improvements is there to stay, and part of the shutdown time will be utilized meaningfully in that respect, absolutely. And now I hand over to Philip to address your question regarding hedging.
Yeah, well, the first thing to say is that, I mean, we started the year already with a relatively high hedge position for especially gold and palladium. You may recall we mentioned it's about two-thirds. So we typically have a hedging strategy that obviously takes still some buffer compared to the expected exposure. So we were already relatively highly hedged for those two metals, which is why I think it's sensible not to increase it further. And then the other metal that really makes a lot of the difference is obviously rhodium, and you know for rhodium there's no liquid market. So we have updated you in February that for the first time since longs we have entered into some forward contracts, but that was for 22 and 23 for a minor part of our rhodium exposure. So this is not a liquid market, so it's not so easy to basically change that. So I would say nothing has changed in terms of the strategy, and it's really because for a number of the precious metals we already started with a relatively high hedge position in the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question. We don't have any other question. I will come back over the conference to Mr. Kreiner.
Thank you, Roberto. So I would like at this point to thank you for joining the call at short notice. And we will speak again in approximately a week's time on the occasion of the AGM. As you know, on that day we typically give a more elaborate business update, but as I mentioned in my introductory remarks, we felt it was necessary to already share with you the latest developments leading to the guidance we provided you today, but more information, more color, and possibly more granularity when we speak next week during the AGM. And in the meantime, if you have follow-on questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. And with that, I would like to thank you again and wish you a very nice day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That concludes the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.